Heavenly Father, we bow before your glorious throne right now. We're going to open the word and we're going to hear your instructions to us, literally commands that you've given to us. So sometimes we bristle. Unfortunately, we do. And the Holy Spirit is not fully in charge of our will and our decisions. We sometimes say, oh, I don't want to do that. But Holy Spirit, we want to give you all of our heart, soul, mind today, and even strength. We're going to devote it all to obeying your commands given to us through the word of God. Give us that power today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's put the sermon series up on the screen, Recovering the Lost Hospitality Commandments of Scripture. Today's sermon topic, let's skip ahead to that. Biblical hospitality, a closer look at the Bible's hospitality commands. We're going to get to our theme verse in a little bit, so don't worry about that right now. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. And let's just think about the front of the church here for a minute. It's redesigned, but that's not what I want to talk about. Remember in our churches in the past, there used to be something up here in the front that was called, what did we used to call it? It was what? It was, and who said that? There you go. Yeah. Kind of came out of the pietistic movement of evangelism. Come forward, make a decision for Christ. Come to the decisional altar where you give your heart and life over to Christ. We don't do that for a number of reasons. We don't do that. But now I want you to transfer that altar to a different location. Transfer that altar instead now to your home, to your dining room table. Can you make your dining room table an altar for people who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior to come and make a commitment to Christ, to surrender their entire heart and life to Christ, and come to know Him as their Lord and Savior? Believe me, if that happens in your home, they will never forget where that happened, will they? They'll always remember, like important events in their life. They'll say, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior at the dining room table of fill in the blank. What a moment that is. What a glorious opportunity that is. We've had that opportunity in our home many, many, many times. And that's what I want you to think about. Using your home as an evangelistic center, perhaps even an altar where people can come to Christ. We're going to look at the biblical commands today. So our main point is this. Put that main point up in front of everybody. Biblical command to practice hospitality is timeless, it is cultureless, and it is undebatable. It's a command. It's not optional. It's something the Holy Spirit has instructed us to do. I'll get back to this point again and again in the message. If you love me, you will follow the, finish the sentence. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you don't keep my commandments, then you don't love me. That's where we're at today. That's how serious this topic is going to be in all of our lives as we discuss this from the scripture with three biblical hospitality commandments. And again, the main point is hospitality is timeless, cultureless, and undebatable. Even though it's awkward sometimes in our culture today, maybe easier in the New Testament time to have people in your home, a simpler life perhaps, it doesn't excuse us from doing what God has asked us to do in every age, in any generation. So biblical command number one. Let's put that up on the screen. Thank you, Ryan, for doing that. Biblical command number one. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. Some of it's on the screen in front of us. But actually, we need to start in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in order to understand the following commands, the practical commands that come after verse 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. So that's why I had you open your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, I appeal to your brothers, That word is so significant. We're going to get to it a little bit later on. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body, singular, no, bodies, plural, together, one church in Rome. So I appeal to you to present your bodies together as a living singular sacrifice of worship to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world. So this world has its standards or its ways, or our houses are our castles or our sanctuaries. We don't let anybody in. So that's being conformed to this world. We don't live according to this world's standards and values. No, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed instead by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. And we're going to talk today about what the will of God is in terms of being good and acceptable and perfect. So that's the underlying foundation for all the practical applications of living the Christian life that come in Romans chapter 12. Skip down then to this passage of scripture right here in front of us. Verses 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. It is all. Hospitality is all about loving one another. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in your zeal to do these things. Be fervent instead in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in the hope that we have in Christ. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Daily prayer. Contribute, of course, to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. So let's dig into this command that's in front of us. Since the Bible is relevant to all ethnic groups around the world, doesn't matter if you're Chinese or Asian or Italian. Italians, of course, know how to do hospitality better than anybody else. Middle Eastern cultures really know how to do hospitality. It's part of their DNA, but it doesn't matter what culture, because the Bible is speaking to Christian all over the world. No matter what ethnic group, no matter what nationality, no matter what culture you live in, this is a command to you. And to me, it doesn't matter which generation you're in, that generation back then or today's generation. Even though our standards have changed, our values have changed, our privatization of our homes have now become part of our culture, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Secondly, this command is in the context of love. Love. This is how you show love to one another. You bring them into your home. You open up an intimate setting. You set down a meal in front of each other, and we're going to share in each other's lives. Hospitality then is a measure, a tangible, actual measure of how much we love one another. So the opposite is true. Closing our homes to one another is an expression of closing ourselves off from people and not extending to them the kind of intimacy and love that can only be experienced across from a table or in a home. I need to work on this just like you do. There's much, much more work in my life to do to make this happen. But let's take a look at that word seek. You see it up there? Seek. That's a bad word in English. In Greek, it's the word dioko. You can put this down in your notes. D-I-O-K-O. Dioko. And it's so strong. And the word seek just kind of mellows it out and softens the blow. But really, what Paul is saying is pursue with the most vigorous effort you possibly can. That's what it means. Dioko. Pursue vigorously to show hospitality to one another. Vigorous effort. What do you do in your life that's vigorous? Do you diet vigorously? Do you exercise vigorously? Do you, you know, do your hobbies vigorously? You know, we don't do much vigorously at all. I know we don't. But when a hunter is out there hunting, for example, and he has got his deer in his sights and scope and off he shoots, and all of a sudden he realizes he wounded that animal, does he stay in the stand and say, "Oh, I know it's wounded, but so what? Clayton here's a good hunter." Clayton, do you stay in your stand? No, you don't. You go seek it out, right? You pursue that deer vigorously. Why? You don't want it to stay out there and suffer? No, no, no. So that's the idea. I am doing this with vigorous effort to show hospitality. So let's talk about that. How do we do that? How do we seek to show hospitality with vigorous effort? How do we do that? Number one, needs to be planned. If you don't plan it, it won't happen. Period. If you don't sit down with your wife or sit down with yourself and say, "Hey, I got a calendar out, and here's what I want to do with my calendar and my time, at least this often, maybe once a month or twice a month," however you do it, you need to sit down and plan it. If you don't plan it, it will not happen. So you're not going to practice hospitality without planning, period. Not organizing it. So I can't stress that enough. It has to be planned. Second, it has to be simple. Can't be overwhelming. It can't be ostentatious. Because that's just intimidating. It's got to be simple. Soup. Small. Easy. Third, it needs to include those people who have a hard time reciprocating. That's what Jesus told us. Don't always do it to those who can reciprocate. Do it to those who have a hard time reciprocating, paying you back. Number four, how do we seek vigorously? Number four, frequently. Frequently. Once a year, not enough. Twice a year, not enough. I don't know what your standard is, but I would say once a month. I would say once a month is probably the right amount, or even more. Fifth, so plan it, make it simple, do it to those who can't reciprocate it, do it frequently, and then fifth, pray. Pray. God, who do you want me to invite into my home next? Who needs the fellowship around my table and my heart? And then sixth, seek opportunities. Look for opportunities. At the end, I'll ask you to pray for someone. I think I mentioned this already to a group, but I'll say it to you. The woman who called the church for help a couple weeks ago, and we had the children in our home and their boyfriends in our home, and they had a great time in our home for home group. And then I called the mother and said on her voicemail, "I wished I could talk to her in person. Patty and I would love to have you in our home for dinner and your children and their boyfriends." So no response yet, but I'm hoping she would answer. I'm going to ask you to pray for her at the end. So a couple questions. How you doing with seeking vigorously, with vigorous effort, to open your home to strangers and to friends? How are you doing with that? Couple questions. Number one, do you and I realize how important this command is, since it is a command that is given to us via the Holy Spirit, who prompted Paul to say that? So it comes from Christ above, God the Father above, all three in the Trinity are saying, do this in the body of Christ. This is extremely important. Your love will be measured by how much you open your homes to one another. A lost art in the Christian community. Some books I read about this say, man, from what they can see, about 99% of homes in the church have been closed to one another. That's shameful. What's going on? So let's put command number two up there. This is command number one from Romans chapter 12. Command number two comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Similar in its passion. Above all, Peter says, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. See, it's again connected. Hospitality is a measure of how much you love one another, strangers as well as friends within the church. So, covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So again, let's dig into this verses. What does it mean? Well, earnestly, he says up above, does not mean emotionally. Boy, I really, really want to do this so bad. Doesn't mean that at all. It means do it aggressively. Make it happen. Get it done. Plan it. Secondly, one way to increase our love, I think this is fascinating. If you want to increase your love for one another within the body of Christ, here is a great way of doing it. Open your home. Open your home. Enjoy dinner together. Enjoy soup across the table with one another. If you want to increase your love for one another, you will do it most dramatically through hospitality. Love buckets, we talk about love buckets, get filled. Add to them through hospitality. That's how it's done. So then ask the question too, why did Peter say do it without grumbling? Well, you know why? Because we sit back and say, am I the only one? Am I the only one that's doing this? I keep giving out. My budget's starting to get hit. So I'm getting a little bit frustrated because I've invited this person, that person, that person. I've never been invited back, so grumble, grumble, grumble. Yeah, it's connected to our selfishness. It's connected to the temptation to complain. We do that. Does it cost money? Yes. So what? Is there work involved? Yes. So what? Will it be reciprocated? Why are you asking? Does it matter? Of course not. Do it without grumbling. Is there a sin of selfishness keeping our homes closed, keeping us from opening our homes? Of course there is. Of course there is. We don't want our schedules changed. We like just the way it is. We look at our homes and say, oh, I got to clean them up. My bank balance might be hit because I'm buying more food. So we're tempted to complain. Philippians 2, we need to hear this message. Have this mind, Paul says to the Philippians, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He wouldn't hang on to it, but emptied himself of all that glory by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found then in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Look what he did for you and for me. So, why complain? Command number three. Let's put command number three up there. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, our theme verse for the entire sermon series in December. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Philos xenos. For thereby some have even entertained angels unawares. Now the word Philadelphia, which in the word hospitality is the first part of that word, philos, The word Philadelphia, and we've seen the word brothers already in our passage of scripture, was never, ever, ever used by the Greeks to talk about outside the family. It was always inside the family. My brother or my sister, so I have brotherly love for my blood brother or blood sister or my parents or my grandchildren. That's the only way it was used until the Christians took that word and said, no, we're going to adopt that word to describe our relationship to one another within the family of God. So our relationship now, fraternally, is the same as a blood relationship. That's why Paul and all the others began to use that word, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Secondly, think about this. If family celebrations, having holiday celebrations, Christmas celebrations, anniversaries, birthdays, weddings, and everybody's gathered together and there's singing and there's dancing, especially weddings, especially Jewish weddings, Italian weddings, if there's that much joy in those familial relations, shouldn't there be the same kind or better joy within the family of God? Now, the angel is mentioned here, okay? That's an interesting concept. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So what is the author thinking about? Well, he's writing to Hebrew Christians, so they're more familiar with the Old Testament than anybody else is. So immediately what they're thinking about is the angels that came down and talked to Abraham and Sarah. That's what they're thinking about. The angels that came to rescue Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels that came to Gideon. The angels that came to Samson's parents. That's what they're immediately thinking about. In each one of those cases, what happened? And every time that happened, when an angel came down and says, we're going to do this, we want you to do this, we want you to obey, and what did they give? They gave a blessing, a blessing. And so what I think the author is trying to say here is, you know, when you bring someone into your home, they're going to act like an angel. Actually, the word angel can be messenger of God, so that can come in human form. It doesn't have to be supernatural. I think he's talking about it could be supernatural, could be an angel from heaven. I don't know. I think normally, and I think this is what the author is intending to say, is any minister of God. Doesn't matter if he's got status, a degree, a missionary, a family, a child. He's still a minister of God. Somehow, they're going to bring you a blessing. Patty, how many times have we had missionaries in our home, across our table? And then we talk about, our last term, here's what God did to protect us. We're out on the highways and we got attacked by bandits. That was the Keels. Wow, our car even has bullet holes in it, but we survived. Well, isn't that an encouragement to me? It's a blessing to hear again how God protects, provides, sustains. Yes, it's going to bless me. Angels unawares, they're going to be blessed. It's always a blessing. So that's what I think he's talking about. I think he's talking about human messengers of God. I think I need to take a little bit of time to ask another question. When is hospitality forbidden? So put that on the screen for me, Ryan. When is hospitality forbidden? You would think it would never be forbidden, but it is. It absolutely is forbidden. So in two ways, and in two circumstances, it is forbidden. So number one, when a false teacher is intent on getting adherence to his false teaching. You've read this passage before. 2 John chapter 1, there is only one chapter, verses 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this gospel teaching, this clear teaching of the Word of God, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. That's huge. For whoever greets him with a polite greeting, hello, what can I do for you? You want to come in? Can I bless you? That kind of greeting, which you would say would be normal. No, John says, no. Don't do that, because whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. You validate him. You say, I agree with you, just by being polite to him. So don't do that. So which kind of a house is it? Well, it can be a house church, which I think that that's probably its primary emphasis. In the book of 1 John, especially, 2 John as well, 3 John, John is speaking to his house churches. They're scattered all throughout the city of Ephesus. They're everywhere. So do not invite a false teacher into your home group. Don't do that. Into your house church. Because he's looking to bring adherence into his false teaching, and he will take people away from the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. So, does this mean don't invite a JW or a Mormon into your home? I don't think it means that necessarily, because if it's just you and you're witnessing to them, you're actually witnessing to them because you have a handle on the truth. But if he's coming in and you're welcoming him in, into your home to say, come and speak to my home group, he's there for the wrong reasons. He's there to take them away from God's word. So, like I say, it includes don't even be polite. Don't even be polite, John says, by giving him a friendly greeting. Wow, why? Because any kindness of ours towards a servant of Satan and Satan's kingdom shows indifference to the truth of God. We are to guard so very carefully. So practical, isn't it? Does that mean don't welcome a false teacher into your home through your television set? Yes. Yes. Why do you turn on the TV to watch a false teacher? Health and wealth. Name it and claim it. Why do you do that? Why do you let other people listen in? So, no. You've invited a false teacher in. Years ago, we as deacons and elders had to ask a small Bible study group to stop teaching Joyce Meyer. We had to do it. Why? Because you've invited a false teacher into a home. And that false teacher is bringing people away from the truth of God's word. We do it again. We do it again. Anytime. But number two, I think this is even more drastic. Number two, when a disciplined member remains unrepentant. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 9 through 13. When a disciplined member remains unrepentant. Here's what Paul says. He's talking about the purity of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's all about you've got a member of your church who's living in sin. He's got a sexual relationship with his stepmother, totally inappropriate. Even the world says no. Church should obviously say no. You should have disciplined him a long time ago. You should have kicked him out of the church. What's wrong with you? But here's a few more instructions about this. So he says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. You should not even be talking to this man. You should have been kicked out of your church a long time ago. But not at all meaning the sexually immoral of the world. No, they're everywhere. Or the greedy and swindlers and idolatry, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, says they're a Christian, if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or even a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I got to do with judging outsiders in the world? No. We don't do that. Is it not those inside the church whom we're to judge? The answer is yes. God judges those on the outside. That's up to him. But purge the evil person from among you. Don't eat with him. Don't talk to him. Don't be with him. Don't greet him. Because God has put that person on the outside for a reason. To experience the coldness of disfellowship. If a person says, I've been put out of the church, I've been disciplined, I need some advice, can you meet with me? The answer would be, okay, if we're going to talk about your repentance, yeah. I'll give you biblical advice. But no, you're not welcome on my table as if nothing had ever happened. Oh, no. You are outside the church for a reason. And that reason is so that you will be hurting. And Satan's going to do a number on your heart. And you're going to miss the warmth and fellowship of the body of Christ. And so we're not going to aid you by having you feel like it's okay to continue your lifestyle by inviting you into my home for dinner. No. Oh, the application of that is enormous. Enormous. Wow. So breaking off fellowship is one of the best ways of bringing an unrepentant sinner back to Jesus Christ. Do what Paul says. Do what Jesus says. Do it, do it, do it. So my application. Let's go to application. It's not on the screen, but I want you to pray for the gal that we helped a couple weeks ago. Thank you, folks, for being generous. Some of you gave so she could eat and her family could eat. Appreciate that so much. I want her to respond to my phone call. Her name is Jennifer, so write Jennifer down. And she has two daughters, one that's 18, one that's 16, I believe. And I'd love for that one phone call. I don't want to do two phone calls because it sounds like I'm putting way too much pressure on, but I'd love that one phone call to be responded to. But second, in our application, let's ask the Holy Spirit right now to apply all of this. So, kind of bow your heads, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to instruct us, actually to grade us. We're going to do self-evaluation and allow the Holy Spirit to do the grading. So let's start with this question. Holy Spirit, we have in my home, now you're talking to the Holy Spirit, I'm just putting words out there. We have probably had our home open to strangers, church family members. In 2018, this past year, at least 5 to 10 times. So Holy Spirit, what grade would you give us for that amount of aggressively seeking hospitality? What grade, Holy Spirit, would you give us? Passing grade or more than a passing grade? Are you pleased with that amount? You know, 5 to 10 times in 1 year? But Holy Spirit, maybe in our home, we've only opened our home once, maybe 1 to 4 times in 2018. So we've had 12 months, and maybe at the most only 4 times we opened our home. So Holy Spirit, what kind of a grade would you give us? A passing grade, just barely? Oh, if we're doing the letter grades, would it be a A, B, C, D? You know, or Holy Spirit, I've not even opened my home at all. At all. 0 times in 2018 have I invited anybody into my home for fellowship around my table to experience the intimacy of Christian fellowship. So it's 0 times. Holy Spirit, what grade are you giving me for not ever opening my home to anybody else? Passing grade? How could it be? So it's got to be an F, I'm sure. Right, Holy Spirit? Is that what you're saying? Self-evaluation. These are commands. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before your glorious throne. We don't want to take these commands flippantly. So often we do. So often we hear a sermon and say, I'm going to pick and choose. I'm going to pick and choose today. I don't want to do that particular command because I don't like it. It's inconvenient to me. I have to clean my house. Or I have to rearrange my schedule, or it's not my gift. Father, these are all stupid excuses, and we admit them to you. They're just dumb. They're just stupid. Our homes mean so much. The intimacy across our table is wonderful experience for people to enjoy having time in casual conversation that often drifts into spiritual conversation. And how can I pray for you? How can I minister to you? How can I know you better? How can I be a better servant to you? That Father, that's what we want to happen in our homes. And we admit, Heavenly Father, that this is a trait in our churches. This thing of hospitality is extinct. Literally, it's extinct. We've closed our homes because of privatization. And what a sin. That's a sin. That we said, no, don't, you can't come here. Can't come in my door. I won't invite you in. What a sin. Father, we confess today that what we've done is wrong. We want to be a loving church family. So inspire us, Lord, to apply these commands, not truths. They're that. But these are commands, and not neglect the showing and pursuit of hospitality to one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.